What were you wearing? That's the humiliating question often asked of a woman after she's been assaulted, as if to say her clothes might have been the cause. Well, an art exhibit confronts that thinking head on. It's called What Were You Wearing? And it's making the rounds at college campuses. Right now it's at the University of Florida. Earlier it was at the University of Kansas, where Jennifer Brockman is the director of the school's Sexual Assault Prevention and Education Center. She was also co-creator of this project while at the University of Arkansas in 2013. It's based on a poem we're going to hear about. Jen, you basically ask women on campus to tell you stories about their assault and the clothing they were wearing. Tell us more.
So we actually met with survivors and interviewed them and asked for their permission to recreate the outfits that they were wearing during their assault. Initially, we gathered about 18 stories from survivors, and then we take those and we recreate the stories, outfits with the stories. So these are not the actual clothes. And now over the years, the installation has grown to over 52 stories that have been donated by survivors. There is a program in India called Blank Noise, and that activist actually does create or collect the clothing of the survivor.
Okay. So you recreate the outfits given the descriptions you get, and it was inspired by a poem by Mary Simmerling. I have it pulled up here, What I Was Wearing. She writes, was this, from the top, a white T-shirt, cotton, short-sleeved and round at the neck, tucked into a jean skirt, also cotton, ending just above the knees, belted at the top. She goes on to describe what she was wearing, and she says, my answer seems flat somehow, given the rest of the details of that night, during which at some point I was raped. I mean, she seems to be saying that people who are questioning her, whether it's law enforcement or other people, want to hear that maybe there was something she was wearing so that it wouldn't happen to them?
Correct. So we feel like that most times this question is not asked from a place of malice. It's asked from a place of fear by those who love and care about us. That if they can figure out what was the item of clothes that somehow left us vulnerable, that all they have to do is avoid that item and they will never be in this place that we are sitting in now. Yeah. So it comes from that place of fear, but the results of it for survivors can be devastating.
Yeah. Mary Simmerling ends her poem writing, if only it were so simple, if only we could end rape by simply changing clothes. I remember also what he was wearing that night, even though it's true, no one's ever asked. So now these women are telling you about their assaults, their rapes, and you're recreating the clothing, and we'll have pictures at hereandnow.org. It's quite powerful. There's sort of a sheet background, and the clothing is laid out on it, and you could have coveralls and shorts and T-shirts. What has it done for the women who've participated by describing their clothing?
So the interesting thing is it's survivors of all gender identities, folks who identify as men, women, trans, non-gender binary, gender fluid, all of those spaces are represented within the project because sexual violence impacts folks of all gender identities. The space that we hear that has provided for them through this is a sense of almost a catalyst for healing. The idea that they can put this out, a space that they were so vulnerable and that was held over them, that somehow their clothing was to blame, and to be able to see that represented, have people go through and say, I have that same outfit. I wore that last week. That's so normal. This is really creating a nice space for survivors to feel validated and to feel honored.
Well, because maybe it was you who said this, others have spoken of this, that experience gets woven into the material of their clothing. It was the most intimate thing they had while this was happening. But it's not about shedding their own clothing. It's about what? Shedding their guilt?
It is. So, yeah, we talk about it as the violence is woven into the fabric. And it isn't about that idea of just removing the clothes, because as Mary pointed out, wouldn't that be so simple? But it's really walking away from that question and asking ourselves as the bystanders, as the loved ones, why do I have to ask that question in the first place? Yeah. What is it about society and about culture that leads me to feel like there's an answer at the end of this when there isn't?
Yeah. And some of the women who've participated have said things like, yes, I was wearing those coveralls that are, you know, pinned up there on that white sheet, and I haven't worn coveralls since. So maybe it's about reclaiming clothing, too.
It definitely is. We have a current story that was donated by a Kansas student talking about the color blue. Every time that they were assaulted, they were wearing a blue T-shirt, and they talk about how that was their favorite color, and they refused to stop wearing it. They refused to give that power to the person who harmed them.
Yeah. Are you getting more interest because we're in a Me Too moment?
I think that we are. So the very first project went up in 2014 and really hadn't had a lot of coverage. Mary and I hosted it within the Midwest. And we put it up in September 2017 on Kansas. It was on the heels of the Cosby trial in the middle of the Weinstein. It was about a week before the Me Too hashtag. And since September, we've received 237 requests from six continents to host this installation.
That's Jen Brockman. The installation is What Were You Wearing? Replications of Clothing Women Were Wearing When They Were Sexually Assaulted or Raped. It's an awareness project. We'll have more of their thoughts about what can be done for victims of sexual assault at hearandnow.org, along with pictures of the installation. Jen, thanks so much.
Thank you.